We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Well, welcome in from Philadelphia, episode 133 of Hogue and Johns. And, well, I guess not all that surprising of an outcome today from Lincoln Financial Field. The Bears lose 31-3. I think we all thought they would lose, maybe not this badly. It was certainly pretty ugly.
I can't believe people in Philadelphia were worried about a trap game. The Eagles have, a trip to Seattle and a trip to L.A. to face the Red Hot Rams, and I don't get it. The Bears are bad. They're banged up, but those excuses only go so far. They're a mess right now. The play calls, the offensive philosophy, starting with Jim Fox, it's all bad. They're an absolute disaster right now.
Well, we're going to dive into the very important question, but if you'd like to see the rest of our post-game reaction, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our columns are up. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read mine. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read Johnsy's. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes if you haven't already. We appreciate you doing that. So here's what I wrote, and I want to know what you think. I think I know what the fans think, but I want to know what you think. If you're going to fire John Fox, it should be done tomorrow morning. And I'm dead serious. It should just be done. If you're going to do it, do it. And this isn't just fire the head coach, you know, get all mad. And, it, you know, logically, if you're going to make the move, I really think with this current situation, and the schedule's a part of this too, you got the 49ers next week. You have some opportunities here in the next month to make some strides. And when I say that, I'm really talking about one player, Mitchell Trubisky. Today was a disaster for him. Now, you played a really good team, and eventually he's going to have to beat teams like this. But he was bad today, and I thought this was a step backward in his growth, and I think it's fair that you have to worry about his confidence, not really long-term, but just you have to maximize his situation the rest of this season. And if the analysis coming from Ryan Pace in the front office is that they're going to make a head coaching change because that's what's best for the quarterback, then you should do it now with 5 games left. Hand it over to Vic Fangio, who's got would have a lot to coach for, potential head coaching job, whether it's in Chicago or somewhere else more likely, and just let Dow Loggins go. You know, let this offense go. Stop kicking field goals, 54-yard field goals, on 4th-and-4 when your kicker coming off a groin injury, who you've never seen before, who couldn't even get the ball to the goalpost. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think flipping the page is a great idea. A fresh start in a breath of fresh air, whatever you want to call it, would be great for not only the John Fox, whatever, just that the players might need it. You know, this isn't working. I don't care what they say about defending John Fox. It's meaningless to me. Those are empty words. Of course they're going to say that. This team is a mess. They're 3-8. They're ready to give you excuses when you want them. But, look, I agree with you. I don't think the Bears are going to do it. Heck, maybe they will. Maybe they'll surprise us all and just do it. But I think the players deserve a fresh start. I think Mr. Trubisky deserves a fresh start. I think Ryan Pace deserves a fresh start. I think that everybody needs a fresh breath of fresh air. It's just not working. And it starts by kicking out the head coach.
Yeah, I don't understand what you have to lose by making the move now. And this flip it the other way, I don't know what you have to gain by letting Fox coach this thing out. I mean, your only concern would be would they just lay down because the locker room's so upset about losing Fox. I think they like playing for Fox. I don't think that there's going to be a Lovie Smith-type rebellion when this move is made, which seems inevitable now. And if anything, Vic Fangio's still very, very respected in there. So I would think that they would come out and want to play hard for him to help Fangio. So I don't really think that there would be any negative impact on these final 5 weeks, only positive going forward. And I don't know, like you said, I doubt it would happen. The Bears have never fired a head coach in the middle of the season. They've never done it. It just seems very unlike the Bears to do it. But I don't know if Ryan Pace thinks the same way as the rest of this. Ryan Pace thinks like the Saints. He doesn't think like the Bears.
Well, here's the thing. Like, hiring John Pace was something the Bears never really had done. Hadn't they? Wasn't his partner
John Fox?
Yes. He was an experienced head coach. They always gone for a rookie head coach. So maybe, you know, with the faith the Bears have in Ryan Pace, maybe this is the first time. It's the first time for everything, right? Maybe that this is finally it. Maybe it won't be this week. Maybe it's after the 49ers come into town and Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's playing, you know, takes them to task. So,
but on that note, I kind of had this thought last week. Actually, I really had this thought last week. But I didn't think it was the right time to write the column and do this podcast because you had the Eagles coming up next week. You know, starting this, flipping the page and throwing Vic Fangio out there and everything against this team, that would have been a disaster today. But the 49ers coming to your place next week, I think that that timing makes a lot more sense.
What this game tells you, or should tell Ryan Pace, what it told me, and I wrote in my column, is just how far the Bears are behind in this offensive-minded, driven world of the NFL now. You look at what the Eagles have for Wentz, you know, with their head coach, their offensive coordinator, and their quarterback's coach, literally with all coordinating experience and quarterback's coaching experience. And just how they built this situation for Wentz. The Bears aren't the blueprint, or the Eagles aren't a blueprint for him. And that's literally an exact line out of my column. The Rams are. You know, this game tells you why it's important to start anew, why the fresh start with an offensive-minded head coach is the perfect pairing for your quarterback, your young quarterback who is the most important player on your team. Things just aren't clicking. The offense is sloppy. The penalties, the undisciplined play. Look, Dow Loggins called a bad game, let's be honest. Was not good for him. But the penalties, the undisciplined play, the lack of accountability, that goes all the way up to the top. That starts with John Fox.
So along that note, another part of this that I addressed in my column is you might as well get a head start on the head coaching situation. The college coaching carousel's already started. Not that I'm saying you're going to dive into college. I would think, though, if there is a Jim Harbaugh possibility, you would at least entertain that and interview him. I'm not saying hire him. I'm just saying these are the kinds of things that you might as well get started on. And the NFL coaching carousel is not far off. So go to the front of the line. Now, in the past, you might have had a problem in this situation getting the top head coaching candidate. And that might still be a problem. But you do have a fancy, shiny, new, young quarterback to dangle out there to some of the best offensive candidates that exist. So, again, I think there's a lot more to gain by just making the move now. The whole world then knows that you're looking for a head coach. You could start the interview process literally tomorrow with Jim Harbaugh, if that's a thing. Because his season's already over except for the bowl game. You see what I'm saying? But you can't do that if Fox is still around. You can do back channel stuff and talk and things like that, but you might as well, from that standpoint, do it now as well.
That would be something. And the Bears, Ryan Pace, Josh Lucas, and I think Jeff Shiver were in. The game was in Ann Arbor, right? Yeah. They were in the big house scouting the old rivalry game between the Wolverines and the Ohio State Buckeyes. So, look, I don't want to read too much into that. You know, the Ohio State Buckeyes actually have a lot of first-round picks on their team. But, look, it's just not working. 3 wins this year, 3 wins last year. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Even you go back to, like, when they had Alshon Jeffery, and they had Martellus Bennett, and they had Jay Cutler, and they had Brian Hoyer throwing for four 300-yard games in a row. He had, like, a 400-yard passing game. This just isn't working. You know, and it starts with changing the mindset, the approach, the philosophy. I get what you're saying. Why not start anew? I think the Bears, I agree with you, the Bears should. I don't know if they'll do it tomorrow, Tuesday, whatever, but this has to be enough. From what I'm hearing, again, ownership is quite furious and quite pissed off again.
Yeah, well, and I think it's inevitable that there's going to be major changes. I don't think it'll be Ryan Pace, like, because I don't think that he hasn't rubbed the organization the wrong way that Phil Emery did. There was that thing went really, really deep. This is different. I think the renovation plans for Halas Hall they just announced, which had Ryan Pace's blueprints all over it, shows that he's still held in high regard. But I also think that, you know, it's starting to be crunch time here with him. You know, he gets this offseason. He gets another head coaching hire, and he better start working on this offense. He better maximize Mitchell Trubisky. He better get him weapons. And, you know, if we're sitting here a year from now and the Bears are 3-8, well, then maybe it might be a bad situation for him. But right now, at a minimum, I would say it's 99.9% sure that Fox is gone.
And say, hey, maybe Pace thinks a defensive coach is what's best for the Bears next. But that defensive coach, Dennis Allen, maybe, better have an open mind, more open mind than John Fox has offensively. This isn't the 1985 Bears era. This is the modern-day NFL where you need franchise quarterbacks to win, where you need a system, a structure built around him to make him successful. And it's more than just players. Sure, the Eagles spent money on Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, whatever. They have a system in place to help Carson Wentz succeed. The Bears have nothing like that system set up for Mr. Trubisky at this moment.
Let's get you John Fox's post-game press conference. We were both in there for that, and you asked him a question about, you know, pretty point-blank question about whether or not why he and the rest of the coaching staff are the right coaches for Mitchell Trubisky. He kind of took the answer in a different way. You'll hear that in here, and we'll talk about it. Here's John Fox after the Bears' 31-3 loss to the Eagles.
I think you guys should have the injuries. Both Josh Sitton left the game, did not return with concussion, as well as safety Adrian Amos, hamstring, was questionable for return but did not return. Open it up for questions.
You seem to have them kind of a little bit of control there in the first half, and then Carson gets those three touchdowns in the late first and the second at that point. What kind of change for them offensively?
I think, you know, they're pretty potent offense. You know, they can run the ball effectively. They're tops in the league in that area as well as passing the ball. It's a good football team that's had similar scores to what we experienced today. And much like I'm sure at the conclusion of some of those games, we didn't play well enough in any phase really for us to compete. You know, and the game was not competitive, from early on.
How do you keep Mitch's confidence?
Well, I think, you know, again, you got to give them credit, too. That was a good defense. They forced a lot of turnovers, in their first 10 games. We saw plenty of evidence of that in our preparation. I don't think you can look at one guy, including Mitch. I think there's a lot of elements to that and the success of a quarterback. Establishing run game is one, protecting them, guys catching the ball. I mean, it's just a lot of things go into the quarterback success, and, you know, we just were not good enough today.
Why didn't the running game work today?
I think, again, you have to give the opponent credit. I don't think I had a chance to look at the film. We didn't establish it at any point in the game. I know that the one thing that hurts the totals, which I don't think we're going to amount to a lot, is at the end anyways, but was a, pretty big minus play on a reverse. But we did not operate offensively well enough today for sure. But give them credit.
Defensively.
We needed to play better. I mean, we needed to play really, really well in all three phases for us to beat that football team. And we didn't.
As you struggle here down the stretch the last 3 weeks, how much do you worry about the players continuing to buy in for what you need them to buy into?
I didn't hear the first part of your question.
As you struggle here for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How much do you worry about them buying in still?
I don't think, they're professionals. We all are. I don't really buy into the buy-in part of that. You know, these guys will continue to compete, and they always have, and they will going forward.
John, after losses like these, there's always going to be questions about your job security, but why do you think you and your staff are what's best for Mr. Trubisky?
Well, I mean, again, I've answered this plenty of times. You don't come into this job, whether it's a player or as a coach, with questions about your job security. Frankly, I don't give a rip. That's not why I do this. Whatever happens to the things I control, I'll work to control, and that's to get our football team better.
All right, so let's just end it there. There's a couple more questions that we can tack on, but that last thing you hear there is John Fox's answer to your question. He doesn't give a rip, Adam Johns, about questions about his job security. Your reaction.
So, number one, David Hall and I were both questioning each other, like, did he just say, I don't give a rip? You know? Yeah. we had to sort that out, and we saw you tweeted that because we were the only three reporters in there asking questions from the Chicago media in there. That's just a bad state of affairs. Well, wait.
There was that one Philly guy who started the press conference by saying that the Bears were in control, sort of, in the first quarter, to which I did a double take and almost lost my mind because they were never in control at any point in this game.
No, I don't know what was going on there. I know you got to soften them up here or there, but you didn't need that. So yeah, I wanted to know, why do you think you're best for Mitch Trubisky? That was going to be my column. That was my column. I used this full quote, and clearly, I don't care what he says. 28 years in this coaching profession, he's completely concerned about his job security. Right? He came here. This was his last stance. His last stand as NFL head coach. He's not getting another opportunity. He changed everything about the Bears. He put up signs all across the hallways of Hallis Hall. I can't remember what they say right now because apparently nobody else does either. So, he's trying to get his messages out, all this stuff. He's clearly concerned. He's clearly on the hot seat. It's clearly on fire. It's a lost season. It's a lost run with the Bears for him. I think it's becoming more and more obvious. It's not a good situation for the Bears with John Fox in control.
You know, you mentioning the signs at Hallis Hall and some of those things that have gone up. Maybe the most glaring of all those is what he added. I don't think they added this till year two under Fox, but there's a strip along the wall where when the Bears win a game, they add a card with a photo and the score from the game, and they haven't been able to fill. There's literally a whole. This thing goes 20 yards? Yeah. Maybe not that much, 15 yards? And they haven't been able to add more than three to it since they put that in. I mean, it sits there every week like an eyesore. And this is the hallway that the players walk down every day. Now, I'm sure they look at that for a while and they go, okay, motivating. We got to fill that thing up. But at a certain point, after 2 years of that sitting there and you can't fill it up, do you go, well, this is just embarrassing?
Yeah, it's right on the way to their meeting rooms, to and from the locker room. It's a bad look, and sometimes the Super Bowl trophy is sitting right there as they pass the lobby. So, yeah, again, I'm trying to think of don't be afraid to be great, whatever. They have all sorts of sayings in there, lead, follow, or get out of the way. It's time for everybody to get out of the way right now because – a house cleaning is coming. They're a mess. You're right. Mr. Trubisky did not look good whatsoever. Step back. Bumps in the road are supposed to happen, but this was bad. This was real bad. And when you compare it to other games, there's no continuity offensively. It was just a few weeks ago he's throwing seven passes in a game. This is just – it's not a good situation for a young quarterback to feel good about. When he's talking about feeling sick to his stomach about losing, I hope Ryan Pace feels – ill with that quote, because I know fans probably feel a bit under the weather when they hear their quarterback, their franchise quarterback, saying that.
I always wonder, I hate when we get to this point. Now, my third time, your third time, too. You covered Lovey's last season, right? So this is the third time where you just sort of kind of know what's coming in the final weeks of the season. Maybe with Lovey, it was a little bit more dicey because that was a 10-win team. But at this point, with Trestman, we knew he was gone. At this point, Al Fox, we know he's probably gone, and you have to have these conversations with the players in the locker room. So a couple interesting things that I want to bring you from the locker room. The first was I asked Kyle Long what's left to play for. You're not going to the playoffs, but you still got to go out there for five more games, risk your body, injury, especially for a guy like that who's playing with so much. I asked him that question, and this is what he said.
To be honest, I just don't want to be disrespected as a player, as a man. You're not going to line up across from me and take my lunch money every play. I won't allow it to happen. And I know we got guys in this locker room who feel the same way. We just have to do it as a team. I've seen that defense and that offense today from the Eagles. They've dismantled really good teams this season. It's happened. We've played well against really good teams, and we've played poorly against really good teams. We need to figure out who we are moving forward, and we need to stick to the script.
So there's Long. You know, you're just kind of playing for pride at this point, and you don't want to be embarrassed, and that's what guys like Kyle Long and Akeem Hicks, too, you know, they're still giving them their all out there. I don't necessarily see any quit in the team. I don't know if you saw any of that today. I didn't quite get to like the Mark Trestman level where team came out of halftime just dead. But you sort of wonder about that going forward, and that's why I think you got to be careful here.
Well, I think they got better character players, and you could credit the coaches all you want. I think you have better leaders in the locker room itself. It starts with Akeem Hicks, guys who don't quit, guys who aren't going to give in, guys who are prideful players, Kyle Long included. Cody White here included. I think that goes with changing the culture. And yes, Fox has played a part in that. Coaches have played a part in that. But the guys have to make up for it. They're not going to quit. But this was an embarrassing game here in Philadelphia. I don't think it would be as embarrassing if the 49ers or Browns come to Soldier Field and get out of there with a victory. But this was not a good look whatsoever. Bears are behind. I think the reality starts to sit in at some point. You would hope. And guys start being, you don't want them to be selfish, but you have to do what's good for your own career sometimes. And look, this could turn ugly. Maybe it won't. Like I said, they got better character guys in there, but this was an embarrassing loss, no matter what they say.
Yeah, that's the word I used on our WGM postgame show with Hamp, Obi, and Kaz when I went on with them. It was an embarrassing game. And they haven't had many of those, but it's starting to be too many of them. You know, two under Mike Glennon. I would say the Packers game was close to embarrassing. It was closer, but that was a team you should have beat, and they played just horrible. And then this one absolutely was embarrassing.
Can I remind you? Brett Hundley played in that game. Brett freaking Hundley.
Yeah. Just saying.
So, along those lines, the Eagles are so good that they have time during the week to choreograph some pretty awesome celebrations. They had the bowling with Alshon Jeffrey after his touchdown. They did the bowling. And then a couple dance celebrations. One that was after an interception that was overturned, but it still looked good. And after the game in the locker room, Pat Finley from the Sun-Times, we love Pat, started to ask Kyle Long about the celebrations. And I think what he was getting at was just, you know, does that start to bother you at some point when a team is just constantly celebrating like that? And he got kind of, well, he did. He got cut off by Kyle Long.
Look, I'm not here to watch celebrations. I'm here to block the defensive front, get yards. We got -6 yards today. I could give two shits about their celebration. If they want to go on Dancing with the Stars, that's great for them. We're trying to win football games. We didn't do that today. I'm very glad that they're well choreographed in their dance routines. We got to find a way to win football games.
So I thought that was a pretty entertaining moment in the locker room with Kyle saying, you want to be on Dancing with Stars? Fine. But he wasn't saying that in like a negative way for the Eagles. It was just that he's worried about other stuff. They have to figure out a way to win. And right now, and that's the defining thing with John Fox. They just have not found a way to win in 3 years.
Yeah. They're in games. They're close. But eventually, that's just what you are.
Well, I wrote that after the game. I said, I mean, today, and you alluded to this earlier, today's game against the Eagles proved that there's a big difference from playing Fox, John Fox ball just to keep games close and actually being a good team.
Yeah.
The Eagles are a good team. The Bears are not. They're good enough to, you know, play this style of football and keep the games close most of the time. But you saw a Super Bowl contender today just up and down the field, and you look terrible. I think as Mitch Trubisky put it, they played bad, the Eagles played good, and the Eagles are good.
And the Bears are bad then. It's a bad state of affairs. Major takeaways, whatever, final conclusions is Bears are a bad team, bad year, get some bad quarterback play, although I still think you should be encouraged by what Mitch Trubisky could be. But I think you got some bad coaching going on, and it starts all the way at the top with John Fox.
All right, well, we'll get out of here. It'll be an interesting couple days at House Hall. I think we're in agreement that we don't expect anything to happen. It would be surprising if it did. But that said, the official opinion of the Hogan Johns podcast is that if you're going to fire John Fox, you might as well do it now. So, I don't know. We'll see. Ryan Pace, I think most of the time, well, at least what I've noticed, has seen the same things that we've all seen and usually acts on it. May not be right all the time, especially when you talk about free agency signings, but it's not like maybe the Phil Emery era where you're just like, wait, you drafted Shea McClellan? Like, what? Who? It, for the most part, the moves, you can see the logic behind everything. So maybe he does see all this as the Bears are flying back to Chicago right now, and maybe he's thinking about it, but I would still be surprised.
Well, I think he has a better idea of some internal things, too, in terms of accountability, how Fox could be lax with this. I just keep going back. I took this out of my column late because call it an editorial decision because I kept comparing them to the Rams and I kept comparing them to the Eagles. But the Broncos situation, again, it's worth considering because when John Elway made that move, he was upset with the accountability and the next level, the next step for his team. And he didn't like where it was going under John Fox. And that was a winning football team with Peyton Manning. So I'm sure Ryan Pace is ready to say peace to John Fox in summer. I'm sure he sees some of those concerns John Elway saw. And, you know, Pace tends to be very methodical in his approach. He thinks things through, but he does act with conviction. He says it all the time. So if he's seen enough and enough is enough, you never know. It could happen.
Well, we did see a couple firings last week. Denver fired their offense coordinator, Mike McCoy, and the Raiders fired their defense coordinator, right? So, but firing a coordinator is different. We'll see. The Rams, you kept bringing up the Rams. The Rams did fire Jeff Fisher in the middle of December last year with three games remaining, I believe. So I don't know. I think it's got to be on the table. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it and see what you can gain here the rest of the year. But I don't know. We'll keep following us on Twitter. We'll be there for you when anything does happen. We'll cover it. But it's at this point, I don't know what else they can just gain by keeping this going for five more weeks. So we'll see. At Adam Hogue, Hoge, at Adam Johns, Jahns. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read my column on this situation. Adam Johns' column is over at ChicagoSunTimes.com. The voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Those have been coming in, and we'll just send out our thoughts and prayers to our producer, Joe Romano, who has to deal with those this week and cut those all together. I'm sure they'll be good. We'll bring those to you on Thursday's episode. Back on schedule this week with a recording on Thursday morning. As we preview, what is it, week 13 now coming up? Bears and 49ers and potentially Jimmy Garoppolo playing. Because just before we came in here to record, I saw that C.J. Beathard got hurt and Jimmy Garoppolo was playing. So maybe he'll be making kind of a homecoming start as he returns to Chicago. So it should be an interesting one. So we'll be there Thursday morning for you. In the meantime, please subscribe on iTunes. Please rate and review the podcast for us. We appreciate you doing that. We're also on the TuneIn app and the WGN Radio app as well. It's a good app to download if you don't have it. All right, Bears lose 31-3. Could changes be on the way? We'll let you know. In the meantime, we'll talk to you on Thursday.